This is the Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage show by Mark Helm. Nothing Mark shares with you guarantees your success in the self-storage business. This is for informational purposes only. There are no calls to action and nothing said or implied is a call for investment money into self-storage or any other asset class. You are responsible for your success in the self-storage business or any endeavor in life. Enjoy the show, and here is Mark Helm.
Let's complete our series on the five phases of self-storage construction we're using in today's environment. My name's Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Quick Start Academy, which houses the training that I offer the small investor who wants to get into self-storage business or who wants to grow their self-storage business. You can find out more about it at creatingwealththroughselfstorage.com. And over the past 2 weeks, we've been going over the five phases that we're using today in self-storage construction for smaller investors. This isn't for everybody, but for if you're a small investor doing ground-up work, if you're doing conversions, if you're doing expansions, this process may work for you. Feel free to use it yourself, or just know that like this is kind of the spaces we move through. In today's environment with high interest rates, high material costs, high labor costs, it can be challenging to make deals pencil out. Using this process is basically how we're able to bring in a lot of projects 25 to 40% under what I was getting bids on from other GCs. What makes this process effective is the owner's involvement in the decision-making all the way through the process. Now, if you haven't seen the first two episodes, there'll be a link in the YouTube channel in the comment section, and there will be a link in episode 459 in the blog's training section of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage.com. We're not going to go over it, but let's just take a quick look at the first four phases we went over in weeks one and two. We talked about our due diligence and planning and development phase and covered all the spaces that we cover in there. And this is whether we're doing it on our own or working with a client. The development and project approval phase. Then we had two phases on construction. The first phase is getting to the construction process. And the second phase was going through that process, the administration, and getting to completion. The final phase, which you think may seem strange, is setting up operation. Why would that be on the mind of somebody doing self-storage construction? Well, you'll see. Setting up operations and having an eye on the customer experience is something that we do from phase one on, all the way through the construction process. But let me show you in the final phase that we'll cover today, setting up operations. Let me show you some of the spaces that we move through, whether we're doing our own projects or your projects. Critical is your operating and point of sale software. Your website's critical, online marketing, training, revenue strategies. So we'll cover this last phase of what we call the development process that we use, whether we're working with a client or doing our own projects. And then we'll go over a couple of the items that we see people, the biggest mistakes people are making that we see out there today. So let's talk about setting up operations. The software programs today are much more robust, and many of the companies have all like a menu of services you can choose from, all the way from your website to your point of inventory and point of sale software, obviously your operating system, even your credit card processing and your security. All that can be wrapped into one program if you choose to. My experience is almost all of the operational software out there is good. Which one you should use is really a function of you, your strengths, your organizational setup, who's going to be using it, how many facilities you have. There's a lot of variables involved, and we work through some of those and make suggestions of which companies we think clients ought to interview and call. And my coaching to them is set up one-on-one meetings online with the different providers, have them demonstrate their software to you, and then you decide which you think would work best. People always ask me, what do you use? Well, what I use is somewhat irrelevant because I may be different than you. Our company's different than you. Call me a dinosaur, I still love the reports that I get from SiteLink. I love the dashboard, I love the reports I can get. I can tell a lot more, and this is just me, I can tell a lot more of what's going on from the, you know, simple reports I get from SiteLink than almost any other operating system I've seen so far. But in reality, very few people we work with end up using SiteLink. They usually choose something else because there's a lot of good programs out there. At the very minimum, here's what your operating software should do. It should integrate with your website, your billing, and your security systems. Customers should be able to rent online, pay online, do business with your company without ever talking to a human being if that's what they want to do. And your gate system should be integrated with your operating system so when someone's late, they can't get in, at the very minimum. Many people even have the doors, all the unit doors integrated with their operating system. So not only can they not get in the facility, but if they do happen to get in the facility, their door won't open. All that can be done automatically if you choose to. Website. Let's talk about websites. So for years, I always recommended, and still do in many cases, that you use an industry vetted website provider. Why? Well, their websites are good, they're templated, they're easy for customers to change if they need to. The integrations with operating gates, security software are already in place. Some work better with some companies than others, but the integrations are all there. You don't want Uncle Harry making your website up and having to figure out all those integrations. You don't want your best friend who makes websites do your storage website. Now, we followed the same path. Today, I'm going a little bit differently. Now, that's just us. I'm not suggesting you do. We're going a little bit differently. Most of the website providers today have a host of services. You use them for your website. You use them for your operating system. You use them for your credit card processing. They do the SEO. They do the online marketing. And for a lot of people, that's great. That's fine. A lot of people should you do that. We're going a different route. Our philosophy is we want the best, top of class in any like product or service that we're using in our storage business. And basically, what I'm doing now is different than what I was doing 6 months ago, but what I'm doing now is we have a consultant that we're using, and he has templated websites, and he has the back end coding for most of the operating systems out there, and he can connect his websites to the whatever operational software that we choose to use. He's also designing a lot of the AI strategies that we're using, the chatbots that we're using, the automated drip email campaigns, and he'll even integrate maintenance service and customers being able to respond to maintenance service and rate us in that way, as well as our phone bank will all be hooked up together with AI and with virtual assistants, and we're using him for the website, whatever operational software we choose, and we're trying to use best of class with all of it, and then I have a consultant connecting it all together. We feel this route gives us more control over the customer experience, how we interact with our customer base. We'll see. This is the route we're going today. Just know whenever you're watching this, what we're doing could be totally different than it is right now. And no matter when you're watching this, what we're doing may not be what you should be doing. When we're working with somebody, we make client-specific recommendations based on a host of things, but most importantly, what that client's strengths are. Now, online marketing is not optional today. It's essential. Now, most people will use their website provider for their online marketing and their SEO. I'm not saying that's wrong. We just don't do it. For some people, that's a very good way to go. We don't do it. I've never had very good results with my website provider also doing my online marketing. I've spent years studying what other industries do on online marketing and translated what I think is appropriate onto our storage business. Again, we use a consultant to help us design online marketing strategies facility by facility based on the trade area, the rental rates, the competitions, the demographics of the customer base in the trade area, and we're constantly doing A/B testing. But that's just how we do it. That isn't for everybody. Don't ignore online marketing, specifically a Google strategy. 86% or more of the customer storage journey starts online. And training is critical for you, your staff, your even if you don't have employees and you have a boots on the ground person, training is critical. If you're brand new to the industry, take these SSA, Self Storage Association's manager training. Even if you're doing automated marketing, take that manager training. Why? Well, you want your automated marketing to be an experience similar to having a manager in place. The biggest mistake I see small operators doing is they get very dependent on their manager, their employees, their management company, and they have no more idea how to run a facility, what to keep their eyes on, how to see a report and be able to tell what's going on in your facility. I see it over and over and over again. If you're an owner-operator, you're responsible for the performance of your facility. If you don't know where to start, there'll be a link to the 5 key performance indicators as an owner I keep my eye on for our business. Yours may be different, but we try to have 3 to 5 key performance indicators that the owners will always keep their eye on as they're running their storage business. Revenue strategies. Why would that be in a construction development phase? Well, revenue strategies are important. I've had evolving views over dynamic pricing. Whatever your view on dynamic pricing is, at least it's something that should be looked at and considered. The revenue enhancement strategies that we recommend are usually a function of the facility's location, the competitive environment it's in, who are their competitors, and what is the demographic makeup of the customer base. You can also upgrade unit pricing based on location within your facility and convenience to a potential customer. Don't just fall into the trap of setting a price, then getting some momentum, and then when you do price increases, not raising the people who've already moved in because you're afraid you're going to lose a customer. And we see a lot of money left on the table. Usually 6 to 12% on average for our company, when we're taking over a facility, we can get just by bringing everybody up to the then street rate. I see it over and over again. Don't fall into that trap. Now, why would all of that be part of a construction process? Well, the customer experience is something that we keep our eye on all the way through the first 4 phases. It affects everything in our design build phase, what we're actually creating, what's included in what we're building, all the way through to the end of the construction process. So we thought it was only appropriate to put a phase in the construction process that goes over on how to set that business up, because how you're going to run your business is very much a part of every decision that, at least if we're involved in your construction or if we're building our own projects, it's involved in every part of the construction process, because it affects virtually every decision that we make as we move through those phases. That's why we have a whole section on it in our construction process. Now, let's go over a few of the biggest mistakes we see smaller investors making out there, smaller owner-operators making out there as they go through their construction process. Very often we have to step in some stage of the project, and a lot of these mistakes have already been made. One, not working with a builder or a consultant from the start. Look, if you're not exactly sure where to start, call somebody. Don't just call an architect and say, I've got a piece of land, I'm looking for a layout. I see that time after time after time again. That's not a good place to start. I've seen over and over people spending way too much money in the pre-development stage, and they spend so much money there that the project now won't pencil out, or two, worse yet, they got so much money in the deal, they gotta do it, whether it should be done or not. If you're not sure where to start, call somebody. Call us. Might sound self-serving, but it could be the difference of whether you have a project or not. Second big mistake we see is just what we talked about, not focusing on the customer or the customer experience from the very start of the project. What you're building, the features that are included in what you're building, how it's laid out, are all a function of, for us, what we want our customers to experience. How the customer experiences your business from searching online, to coming to your facility, to renting in your facility, to going to their unit, to opening their door, through their stay, through their move out, even the referral process is all designed in phase one and two of the project. Actually in all the phases, but we spend a lot of time in those first few phases. In our company, this isn't necessarily what you should do, because I don't know your business setup and your business goals. In our company, we have a fictitious avatar or a made-up customer, a woman in her 50s, and when we're making decisions construction-wise, layout-wise, design-wise, what the features to include, we always use that fictitious customer, and how would her experience be if we make the decision this way or this way? That's just what our company does, but we help people kind of walk through who their customer base is. Another big mistake we see people making are understanding the regulatory timelines. It just takes longer today to get approved, no matter whether you're rezoning land, taking land through a development approval process, whether you're doing an expansion or a conversion, it just takes longer today. I don't know what it is, but ever since COVID, even in Florida, our experience down there has been it takes forever. The people who work at the regulatory agencies down there, it seems like since COVID, they have made an art out of not being able to communicate with on the phone or in a meeting. Many of the counties, we can't talk to anybody. You have to submit online, and then you may or may not get to talk to somebody, but you will get pages and pages of comments back. Understand that it's going to take longer to get developments approved today than it used to. You know, even for a simple expansion or conversion, I'm using a year for in our performance is how long it's going to take. In new development, it can take much longer. And another big mistake we see people make is not keeping the projects basic. Look, there are times where it's very appropriate to have, you know, fancy, top-end products. If you're building a 135,000 square foot, five-story, self-storage construction in Miami-Dade County with retail on the first floor, it makes a lot of sense to make a very nice and very expensive product. I've seen over and over stuff get overbuilt and it doesn't work out, either on paper or gets built and shouldn't have been built. Our premise from the very start is we're going to keep our project as simple as we possibly can. Then we'll update with architectural enhancements based on what the county says that we have to do, and the high-tech bells and whistles we'll do based on how the client or how we're going to run our business, who our customer base is, and what kind of return on investment we can get for each of those tech upgrades. These kind of costs can get out of hand very quick, and they can make a project not work. I hope this series has been helpful for you. We provided to you to let you know our approach to construction, and it's a process you can use on your own if you choose to do so. Adjust it based on what your strengths are. My coaching, don't just start by calling an architect. Things get very expensive very quickly that way. So, good luck. It's a fantastic business, but today, cost control is everything. So I look forward to being with you next week. My name is Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Storage World Analyzer, which is one of the financial analysis tools we'll use as we're analyzing whether we should do a deal or not. As our costs come in, as we go through the phases, we update the analyzer. We know what our benchmark numbers are. And when our final costs are in, the project either a go or a no-go. Reports are great. You can find out more about it at creatingwealththroughselfstorage.com. Hit the Storage World Analyzer tab or go straight to storageworldanalyzer.com. Thanks. I look forward to being with you next week.